right. Thank you to our children. That was great. And thanks to everybody that was helping them out. Good morning again. We are this morning for our sermon back in the book of 1 Peter. And if you've been with us for the last number of months, we've been going through 1 Peter. And we're going to finish that series this morning. We will be in 1 Peter chapter 5. You'll find those verses printed in your order of worship, or you can look that up in the Bible if you have one with you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And if you happen to have missed last week, over last week and this week, we're looking at chapter 5. I actually did the very end of 1 Peter last week. We switched it around. It felt very timely last week, and so we're backing up slightly to do verses 1 through 5 here, and to talk about what Peter tells us about leadership in the church. So let me pray for us, and then we'll read and we'll jump in. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that you would open it to us. We thank you that in your word you speak to us about all manner of things that we need to know you, to follow you, to live in community and life together. And so we pray that you would use this to instruct us. We ask this as we come to you now in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. So to that we turn this morning. Let me ask you a question. Some of you have niche things you like to read about. One of those for me is books on productivity, which I use to both seemingly educate myself in productivity, but actually waste time by reading those books and reading about things I'm not actually going to implement. The other thing that I read about on occasion, hopefully to more profit, are occasionally I'll read a book or an article on leadership. And certainly if you're in the business world, you may have been doing that, or in other vocations, you may do that as well. But I came across an article in the last couple days on the online version of Forbes magazine. And the title of the article was Top 10 Qualities That Make a Great Leader. And here's their list of the top 10 qualities. Honesty, ability to delegate, communication, sense of humor, commitment, positive attitude, creativity, intuition, and an ability to inspire. Okay, there's a lot of good qualities here. This is a list that a board of directors might work off when they're trying to hire a CEO, and it's a list that, you know, maybe every successful company would want to have in their leaders. But as I read this list, I think there's something missing here. There's something that's not being addressed. But you see, that topic is actually related to what Peter is doing in these first five verses of chapter 5, because he's talking about leadership. I mean, he's talking about leadership within the local church and what's needed for the leaders in the church. And that's who he addresses here, the elders. But think about what he emphasizes. And as we do that this morning, maybe begin with simply this question for all of us. What's your picture of elders in the church, and who and what they're supposed to be? And maybe you envision kind of a board of directors, a group of men that are elected by the congregation, and they're the ones who sit in a room on occasion and make big decisions that affects the life of the church. And that certainly can sometimes be part of it, but there's much more to that. much more to being an elder, and that's what Peter wants us to know this morning. You know, and he addresses it specifically to elders, but it's interesting in 1 Peter, this letter is to the whole congregation, just as it is to us. So Peter was speaking to people who were elders, but he was speaking in the hearing of the whole congregation, because he knew it was important for the whole church to hear and understand that. So what we have this morning is for all of us. And we're going to look at four things about what Peter says elders are this morning. Let me give you that list. Elders are captured by the gospel, called to care for God's people, motivated by love for God's people, and followed by God's people. Those four things. They're captured by the gospel, they're called to care for God's people, motivated by love for God's people, and followed by God's people. And first, let's take a look at this first one. They are people who are captured by the gospel. Peter speaks in a way in which he ends these verses talking about humility. Peter opens up in a posture of humility. He could have easily said to the elders, "I now command you as an apostle of Jesus Christ." And he identified himself as an apostle, one sent by Christ early in the letter. But look at what he says here in verse 1. "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder." Peter is speaking to those who are leading as elders, saying, "Listen, I am and have been there right beside you. We have the same calling to care for God's people." But he goes on and identifies it this way. He says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. The word fellow elder there, it's the Greek word for elder, which is presbyteros. So if you ever wondered where do Presbyterians get their name, it comes from the Greek word for elder right there. But when he says fellow elder, there's a prefix there, S-Y-M, symphony, things that are done together. So fellow elder is a prefix. And that prefix, a lot of commentators think the sense of that is to follow everything that Peter says here. So here's why that matters. Here's another way to read this. "I exhort you as a fellow elder and a fellow witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a fellow partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed." He's speaking to these elders and saying, we are in this call to know Christ and serve Him together. When he says, I'm a fellow witness with you, we think of witness as person who's on the spot, seeing something with their own eyes. And certainly Peter was an actual witness to the ministry and life of Christ. But witness is also used in the New Testament. We use it this way too. Somebody who bears witness to. Peter's calling is to tell people about Jesus, to bear witness to who he is and what he's done. And he's saying to these elders, I'm a fellow witness with you. Your job is also to point others to the glory and gospel of Jesus. We are fellow witnesses. We are fellow partakers in the glory that's to be revealed. We are fellow witnesses of the sufferings of Christ. He reminds the elders of what they are to be about, and that what they are to be about is knowing and following Jesus. He points them back in a letter that has been about suffering. He brings them back to, we are fellow witnesses of the suffering of Jesus, the one who's gone before us, the one who has suffered for us. He's reminding the elders, remember, even as you suffer and as your people suffer, Jesus walked the road of suffering before you have. He's gone before you and he goes before you still. He says, we're fellow witnesses of the suffering. And then he goes on and says that we are fellow partakers in the glory that's going to be revealed. He's encouraging these elders to put their eyes again on where they are headed, to remember again that though Jesus died in shame and pain, he was raised again to new life in glory, and he's returning again. He is coming back when Jesus' glory will be made clear for everyone to see. That glory, Peter knew firsthand. Think about the Mount of Transfiguration, where very soon after Peter makes his declaration of faith, when Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ." Soon after that, Jesus takes Peter and James and John up onto a mountain, and Jesus is unveiled before their eyes in his glory. And Moses and Elijah appear and speak with him. They hear the voice of God speaking to them. They see Jesus in his shining radiance. He gets a glimpse of what Jesus will look and be like in his return in glory. I mean, they got even just the smallest taste of that on what we've celebrated this morning on Palm Sunday, when Jesus rides into Jerusalem and people are singing Hosanna, loud Hosanna, when they're laying palm branches and their jackets on the road to honor him. That did not last long, that last week of Jesus' life, but there was a moment where the window was open to the glory of Christ. And that's what he's reminding these elders of. We are fellow partakers in this. Here's why that is important for us. When we talk about elders, when a church elects elders, when you follow elders, elders are to be men who are all in following Jesus, whose own lives are marked by an understanding of God's grace breaking in for them and being their all-sufficient power, of being the very thing that rescues them from their sin. In other words, elders are to be men who have been humbled by the gospel, that have had to face the reality of their own sin, to see how far short they fall, and to see that forgiveness and care comes only from Christ. One of the ways I heard somebody put it this way years ago, and it's stuck in my mind, that elders need to be people who are living out of their present need for Jesus. In other words, Jesus is not simply the one who saved me from my sins 20 years ago when he broke into my life. Jesus is not simply the one who was there to carry me through a difficult time 5 years ago in the past. Jesus is the one who I am intimately connected to now. I wake up in the morning realizing that I cannot take a step out of bed without the comfort and power of Christ. That left to myself right now, even today, I will only abuse the authority that I've got. I will only neglect the responsibilities that Christ has given me. I will only pursue my own interest in one maybe subtle form or another without the ongoing intervening work of Christ. Now, it's interesting, when we talk about this for elders, it's really true of all Christians. But Peter is saying, how much more true for your leaders? And he's saying here, listen, you need to be following people who see the beauty in their need for Christ every day, and who live out of that reality. Another way to think about it for elders, and I've said this to our men before and others in the past, you know, we elders are to be the lead repenters in the church. The quickest to own up to their failings and faults. The quickest to say, I am sorry. I'm sorry that I did that. Would you forgive me? The quickest to come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness for our ongoing struggles. He's going to go on in a minute and say that elders are to be an example to the flock. That kind of example begins here. You know, maybe there were people that you can remember growing up looking ahead and thinking, I want to be like that person one day. And chances are, if you thought this as a little boy, that was a football player or somebody. You know, I got a lot of that going on in my house right now. I saw a billboard in town that I'm probably going to get wrong, but here's the general sense of it. It was for the National Guard. Had a picture of a person on the front, and it said something like this: if you are looking for mentors, look no further than yourself. Which I just didn't know what to do with that as I was driving down the road. You know, that sense of there's no one beyond yourself to look to or to look up to seems such a sad picture. Because even here in this passage, he's saying elders would be examples to the flock, and examples to the flock in following Jesus. And even as we grow in the faith, are you able to look ahead to those that God's put as elders in the church and say, you know, for all their faults, here's someone who loves Jesus and is moving towards him in an honest and compelling way. To be able to walk away from an interaction, maybe over a tough situation, and say, you know, I hope that I'll continue to grow and learn how to be as humble and repentant as this person was
with me.
So the first thing he starts out with when he talks about elders in the church is that they are to be people who are who have hearts that are captured by the gospel themselves. Even as I read that this week as an elder in the church, this was humbling and convicting to read, that we're called to lead in this way. Let me offer just one point of application here. Pray for the elders in the church. Please pray for these men. That they might love Jesus well, that they might lead well, they might do that in humility. You know, it's funny. Oftentimes, in a church, in seasons in a church, you might need to have the pastor might need to give a topical sermon on something that is front and center for what's going on in the life of the church. You know, there maybe you've been sat through sermons in the past that were about like financial giving in a time when the church was making an initiative to push forward. And those can be really important. But this passage in about elders, what I appreciate and love about it this morning is it comes to us just in the flow of God's Word, because this is where we are going through 1 Peter. So there is no leadership crisis at Grace Presbyterian. I didn't pick this out of here because this doesn't characterize our elders. I picked it out simply because Peter put it for us right here. And so I say that as a means of exhortation for us, let's pray. Please pray. Please pray for everything going on in the life of the church, and please certainly pray for the elders. Okay, that's first thing, captured by the gospel. Secondly, elders are people who are called to care for God's people. One of the things he says to them, the first exhortation, shepherd the flock of God. He's talking about elders being shepherds, as people who lead like shepherds caring for the sheep in a flock. And think about the imagery that comes up of shepherds for us, if you have any imagery that comes up. It's a little separated from most of us culturally. But you see at least the picture of one who is actually out in the world, out in the flock, out in the fields with the sheep that he's caring for, faithfully leading, providing and caring for them. You know, the shepherd image is one that's rich in Scripture. Think back to Psalm 23, maybe the most famous of all the Psalms. It begins this way. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The psalmist talks about God being his shepherd and providing and leading him to places where he is going to find life and provision. And here the Bible speaks about the elders of the church being under-shepherds, being shepherds delegated by the chief shepherd, as Peter refers to him in a moment, to care for God's people in this way. The elders are called to lead their congregation in such a way that they find life and not death. They lead them more and more into a love for God, a love for God's Word, ministry within the church and care for people outside of the church. A good shepherd cares for his people that way. I don't want to offend anyone in this room who's from Texas, and there are a few of you from Texas. But I think it's important that in this passage and in the Bible, the Bible speaks about elders and leaders in the church being shepherds and not cattle ranchers. Okay, and the image there is important. Somebody who's walking in the midst of sheep and leading them versus somebody on a horse from behind who's driving them. That sheep are to be led carefully and with great love and care. And that's what the elders are called to do with the people in church. It says to shepherd the flock of God. It goes on and says, exercise oversight. There are one way to characterize this. These two words, shepherd and exercise oversight, go together. But, you know, there certainly are things that elders do that require making decisions. They require setting direction. That require exercising oversight. And that's part of what God calls His elders to do. He goes on and says, to shepherd the flock that is among you. When he says, shepherd the flock that's among you, elders are not elders for everybody in the world. Elders in this church are elders for people at Grace. Because the elders are called to know and walk among the people that they shepherd. Remember back in chapter 3 when Peter was speaking about husbands and wives. And he said, wives, be subject to your husbands. He doesn't say be subject to all men. He doesn't say that patriarchy is to reign. He says there is to be an intimacy of relationship and trust within marriage to your own husband. And here he's saying to the church, there's to be a relationship of connection and intimacy with your own elders, with the leaders who know and love and walk with you. It says that they are people who are called to care for God's people. Thirdly, they're to be motivated by a love for God's people. Look at just kind of the motivation words that are behind this. He says to elders that you're to serve willingly and not under compulsion. And maybe that sounds strange to your ears. Serve willingly, not under compulsion. Not because you think that could be a hard job to have, but because you think, well, if you don't like doing it, just stop. Because that's what we tend to do with lots of things in our life, right? Well, this just wasn't a good fit for me, so I dropped it. But remember what Peter has already said to this church in chapter 2. He says to all of them, he says, you are now a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Peter has said to these people, you have been called out of the world in the sense that you now follow a new Lord and Master. You now follow Jesus. You now belong to Him. You've been rescued from the world around you. You are a new people. This is unlike any other group of people that you could possibly be a part of. We are not in a club or a civic organization, and so we don't just simply move on to other activities when life gets too full. We're bound together now as God's people. And the elder is somebody who's called by God to minister to God's people. And so he says to them, when things are hard, don't serve out of a sense of obligation, but serve willingly. Because the relationship between an elder and a church, just as with people in a church, is to be a relationship, just to think about it with this very simple image, is to be thick and not thin. The connections are strong and they run deep. Your connection and your obligations to your book club are thin. Your connections and obligations to your job are a little bit thicker. Let me ask you this. Do you ever do things in your job that you don't necessarily want to do but are necessary or somebody's told you to do them? Do you ever do those without walking away? Do you ever do those with a feeling of compulsion rather than willingly? We've all been in that situation. Think a little bit thicker than that. Marriage and parenting. If you're married, do you ever serve your spouse in ways that are needed, but maybe with something less than a totally willing and joyful spirit? Do you ever get up in the middle of the night with a crying baby feeling something other than just overwhelming joy to meet the needs of this little small child? Do you ever pick up a family room floor in frustration, wondering why nobody else in the house seems to know how to put their own shoes away? You know what it's like, we all know what it's like to be in situations, and it applies to these two, where we are operating out of a sense of compulsion rather than, what does Jesus say here through Peter? To come and serve with a willing spirit. And that's what he says to the elders. You don't simply walk away from your church, and you don't simply grit your teeth and do it, but by golly, you're frustrated by it. What does he say? He exhorts him to serve with a willing heart. He goes on and says, not just willingly, he says to serve eagerly, but not for shameful gain. The shameful gain, it's a financial term. And it could maybe mean doing something dishonest with finances. But it could also mean just a sense of, even in the earliest times, it seems some of the elders here were paid for their work to the congregation. And he's saying, not that that is wrong, but he's saying, are you serving the congregation simply for your financial provision? It's just another job to clock in to make money. Or is he saying, you are serving not motivated by that, but by a true love for your congregation? Beyond finances, maybe think about it a little more broadly like this. Shepherds, elders are to be people who are asking this question, how can I meet their needs? Rather than what can I get from them? That's what Peter is exhorting these elders to be, people who serve in such a way that they're putting the needs of others first. He goes on, he says that you're to be examples to the flock, not domineering over those who are in your charge. Much as we said with being lead repenters and leading out of a sense of your own need for Jesus, he's telling the elders that they're people to lead by example. He says, in other words, elders don't ask people in the church to do something that they are not willing to do themselves, haven't done themselves, aren't in the midst of doing themselves right alongside you. You know, elders are people who need to be praying for and looking for opportunities to lead and care in this way. Think about some of the ways we try to make that play out in our congregation. Think back to this past fall when we spent a lot of very focused time talking about the need to reach out well to our community, to share the gospel with others. That was not simply a blip on the screen of the evangelism sermon series, but something in a value that we want to permeate our church always, at all times. But the elders are people who need to be leading by risking themselves in that area of life. Are the elders getting to know their neighbors? Are they seeking to share the gospel when God gives them opportunity? Are we looking to find ways to see the kingdom grow and be a part of good gospel work in other people's lives? Because Peter would say for the elders, if the elders are not doing it and not leading by example, then we shouldn't be surprised if people aren't following in doing that as well. He says that we're to be examples to the flock. He goes on and says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. When he talks about crowns, when the Bible talks about crowns, it's not the picture of sort of the golden crown on a king's head. It would have likely been some kind of like laurel wreath or wreath made of some kind of vine that represented, you know, in the games, in Olympic games, they would receive a wreath that was put on their head if they were the victor in the games. But as the Bible says, you know, those wreaths fade and fall apart. He says that faithful service will be rewarded by God with things that don't fade away. He's saying and encouraging the elders to say, God knows what you're doing. He knows your care for the congregation. And that will be rewarded in a way that brings glory to Him and is a reflection of His glory. The Bible talks in other places about all of us receiving that kind of glory from Christ when He returns. All right, let me break aside from the notes for a minute. It's hard to talk about something like this without maybe a lot of us just feeling like, well, okay, this is what the Bible says about elders. It doesn't necessarily apply to me. What I'm trying to hit at is that it applies to all of us. Because God's called us to be together and to be a people walking through life together in such a way that our leaders among us matter and that we have an expectation, both on the leader's part and the whole church's part, that we are in this together and that life was not meant to be lived alone. And the church is not something that was meant just to be an extra activity in my schedule, but a real community of people I'm connected with. And every community of people you've ever been a part of has had problems. It's had things go wrong. It's needed leadership. It's needed care. And the church is exactly that, a community that needs all of those things. And God's provided it through the elders. And so that's why Peter doesn't leave it simply here, but he goes on and says one last thing. He addresses the congregation, simply to say this in our last point, that elders are people who were followed by God's people. He says it this way in verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When he says those who are younger, commentators I've looked at have said that this likely doesn't simply mean elders are the old people and everyone else are the young people. He's using that as a metaphor to say elders, and the younger encompasses everyone who is under their leadership. It's not simply young men, young women. As one commentator, Karen Jobes, put it this way, younger means younger in standing in the church. In other words, he's addressing it to the rest of the church, everyone who's not an elder. And what does he say? He says, be subject to them. What does that mean in our context? Maybe simply the best way to sum it up is this: follow their lead, and be willing to follow their lead. Blindly? No, of course not. In faith and love? Yes. Listen to, pray for, encourage, follow the elders. Do you have a humble and receptive spirit towards those that God's placed in your life to be leaders? Now, what I love about what First Peter says, what Peter says here in his letter, is that that humility flows both ways. He says in verse 5, all your younger be subject to the elders, clothe yourselves, who, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. The church is to be a community of humble men and women who are relating to each other in gracious and humble ways, who relate to their leaders in humility, leaders who relate to the church in humility. As you think about having elders in the church, I'm going to rip off and change an old church joke. Okay, and you've probably heard this joke. So there was a man in his house, and he heard the news that there was going to be a flood. Somebody drove by in a pickup truck and said, there's going to be a flood. Let me take you to safety. And the man said, no, I trust God to save me. And the floodwaters started rising, and they got up to the windowsills. Somebody came by in a canoe and said, let me save you. Come with me. And he said, no, I'm trusting God to save me. Finally, the waters get so high, he scrambles up onto his roof, and a helicopter comes by. Let me throw you a rope and take you to safety. He says, no, God's going to save me. The waters get higher. He drowns. He appears in heaven and is says, you know, what happened? God, I was praying and trusting that you were going to save me. You know the punchline. Save you. I sent a truck, a canoe, and a helicopter. What more did you want me to send? We as people in the church, when we go through the ins and outs of the daily struggles in life, and we are calling out to the Lord for His care, one of the ways that He has ordained and provided for our care is the leadership of the church. One answer to that question, but I was drowning, could be, but I sent you elders to love you and to care for you and to help you guys walk through this. So let me just wrap up with this as we think about applying this as a congregation. Take advantage in right ways of the elders in our church. These are men that God has put in our church and in your life to help care for you, to provide spiritual guidance, not as the person who has arrived, reaching out a hand to those who have not, but simply as someone who has been called by God into the rescue mission. Let the elders serve and help your family. Let them help you in the midst of hard things. Come to them. Peter addresses this to the elders. Elders, we need to be men who are welcoming those who are in need to come to us, who are coming before the Lord prayerfully together to make decisions that are wise for the church, who are in the midst of things in the middle of life on Sunday mornings and in our life groups and throughout the week, caring for the people who are in our care. You know, we opened up talking about characteristics of leadership. Lots of good things there. Honesty, ability to delegate, communication, sense of humor, commitment, positive attitude, creativity, intuition, ability to inspire. Yet none of those are really the things that Peter picks up when he speaks to the leadership of the church. He says, you're to be men who love the gospel, who follow Jesus. You're to be people who are called not simply to make boardroom decisions, but to shepherd, to care, to nurture the people that have been placed in your care. And you're to be people who do that with humility, who are motivated by not your own gain, but by the needs of the congregation and the people that God's placed in your care. Imagine just for a moment, people like us, many of us, jaded and cynical about political leadership, or maybe the leadership in your own job or the company that you work for. or other situations in life. And imagine for a minute just this picture that God gives us of the way it is supposed to work here with people and leaders who love each other, who are in it together. That's what God has for us as a church. And so let's be diligent to pray for that, for the church to pray for the elders to continue their good work of praying for and serving the church. And remember that we do this together as Christ's body. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you would continue your good work of growing a healthy ministry within our church. Would you encourage and build up the men that you've called to be elders? I pray for those in the congregation right now that you will one day call to be elders, that you would prepare them. I pray for all of us. We are all your sheep. May we be receptive to your leading. May we reach out to and pray for and call on the elders that you've given us here. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.